I'm Gonzalez from S.H.I.E.L.D., one man gang. This helicarrier is my domain. Don't give me no gas or I'll jump on your secret base and kidnap your agents. If the only thing you know how to do is hide and spy, you'll be prepared to do one thing. Keep secrets. I am the beast incarnate, the marvelous Iggy, the host of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. Joining me, the living just outside, a few miles out of the city of the defending Super Bowl champions, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian.
Woo! We got a costume, bitches! We'll get to that, though.
And joining me, the man who secretly cosplays as Mr. Sinister, Taser. Taser, welcome back.
Taser, I'm tired. Taser wants sleep. Taser will do show. Because Taser is dedicated.
Taser Yay. Dedicated like you read about.
Yay.
Well, Yay. Edward James Olmos is part of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now I have a reason to watch. But before
How do I help these kids?
How do I help
these agents?
Hi, Simone.
Seriously, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen Stand and Deliver, what are you doing with your life? Stop.
It's inspirational.
It's such a great movie.
South Park parodied that shit. That's how you know it's good.
He speaks Spanglish. That's how you know it's good.
He's here. Don't get your compliments.
So let's.
No, even better yet, they got a Filipino to play a Mexican. Lou Diamond Phillips.
Is that what he is? I've never been able to determine his ethnicity.
Yeah, he's Filipino.
I've always thought they have him playing a Mexican, they have him playing a Native American over in Longmire, they have him playing another Spanish or Mexican kid here. It's like, this kid can't keep his ethnicity.
Yeah, well, remember, he's played a Native American, he played Richie Valens.
That's right, he did, he played Richie Valens. Yeah.
He played Richie Valens, and I think he played something else, but he's actually Filipino.
More you know. So, before we get on to action news, Brian, apparently we got
just like Rob Schneider, by the way. Rob Schneider is also Filipino.
What?
Rob Schneider. Half Filipino, half Jewish.
Rob Schneider. This summer, Rob Schneider is...
This summer, Rob Schneider is Filipino.
I had no idea. He's Jewish. He's Jewish.
He's half. He's honestly half.
He
but I mean,
you couldn't tell me that man was Filipino.
He is. I wouldn't lie.
Whatever. All right.
Yes, you would.
So let's move on to our first bit.
That's fair, but I'm not this time.
Let's move on to our first bit of news. We got some backtracking from Fox. Brian, what's Fox backtracking on now?
Hey, in an interview with Miles Teller, he now claims that the Fantastic Four will be showing up in their original classic costumes. What a fucking shocker! Because, they said before that those costumes were stupid and weren't going to show up in their movie. Because, their movie is cool and edgy and gag me with a fucking spoon. Okay? Save it. Because now they're backtracking, First there was news of the reshoots coming down, then there's this. I'm telling you, they're feeling the heat from the fan base. People are upset. I'm willing to bet that this is why they're doing
are
all
this. Are you trying to do a Christopher Walken impersonation or what?
Because
it feels like you were going there and you pulled back.
They just happened, but if you want me to, I can try.
Do it.
The studio, the heat, the fan base, the backtracking. That's all I got. Oh, it's awful.
No, you know what I bet? I bet you this was the plan all along, and they were trying to drum up some hate so that when they do reveal that this was the plan all along, skeptics will go, well, now I have to see exactly just so.
If that was the plan, it got us talking about the movie.
Exactamundo. And a lot of us, and I'm talking about us three plus John and, you know, everybody else out there within the sound of my voice, all 17 million of y'all, will want to see this movie just to see, did they? Did they, in fact, put in the old traditional costumes? We must find out. Which means that we get to watch them in light blue and black outfits. Because remember,
my
that's
what they
were doing.
My question is, when do we get Kate Mara in the four cleavage window costume? Because that's what I want.
Maybe that's what they'll use.
Oh, you mean that outfit that Sue had, what, late 90s? The white and blue thing where she was like, I am woman, hear me roar.
And there's a four cutout, right? Where
yeah. She's like, you know. Reed isn't here, and I'm feeling my femininity. Look at my breasts. Oh, my God, that was so 90s. You know, that was so... That was Marvel
so
caving
90s.
Into, like, Image and you know, fucking speed lines and, you know, big-ass patches on everything. I think that was when Thor had gotten his big old shiny yellow and blue and yellow costume. Anybody remember that? The armored look that wasn't armor?
I've seen it before. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was, I think, that day and age. It was like, ew. But then again, he also had that blue and red strap costume. Anybody remember that outfit?
No.
Yes. He had shoulder pads. I think they were brown. And he had a blue and red outfit, still had the cape, and he had like headgear. It wasn't the helmet per se, but it had like Shaft from Youngblood kind of effect going on there. Basically he looked Image. It was the other Image outfit.
Well, that was the zeitgeist. The Image was hot. So I could.
But it was still an awful costume.
No, I understand that, but also awful, I can understand why they did it because like these are what the kids are reading today. They like Spawn.
Yeah, but we didn't read it because of the fucking costumes.
That's why they're
welcome
dumb.
Welcome to the Wildcats Image Podcast.
I would totally do that show. Don't even start me. I know more things about Spartan.
Yeah, so let's have Jim Lee on.
I don't. Not the man.
Oh, Liefeld. We need Liefeld.
Get the Liefeld, fuck out of here Liefeld. With that shit.
Hey, Liefeld's a nice
Liefeld,
guy.
Left field.
Liefeld. It's Liefeld. Why are you spelling it Leaf?
I'm playing GTA 5.
Whatever. So there you go. They're going to go back. I don't care. I think the movie is still going to be. And for those of you who are saying it's going to be better than Age
of Ultron. You didn't actually finish that thought. You think the movie's going to be what?
I think it's going to be okay. I think right. I don't. I think, and that's worse because I'd rather it be really awesome. Or if it was shit, I can say that was terrible. But if it's boring, that's worse to me. So I want to at least be entertained in some fashion in my movies. So yeah, that was my thought.
So wait, hold on. I need to press this question. Yes. What were the last two movies?
What do you mean?
The last two FF movies. What were they to you?
The first one was mildly entertaining. The second one was boring as shit.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
And for those of you numbskulls who are saying that this is going to be that Fantastic Four is going to be edited in Age of Ultron, you're fucking wrong.
Damn straight you are, you maniac, you social terrorist, you. Who would say such a thing?
I would, but you know, I mean,
you didn't say it though.
I didn't. True. But I'm just saying I would say it. That's all.
Well, that's why we love you, Taser. You're kind of
Yay! I'm loved. All right. Well, let's move on to something that's going to make Brian happy. Brian, what's making you happy?
Okay.
Deadpool.
Yes, it's Deadpool. It's always Deadpool. We got a costume image on a bearskin rug, and it's awesome. They're
He's
already doing
winking
it,
at you.
Rubbing my nipple.
He's yeah. winking at you.
Deadpool is splayed out on a bearskin rug, winking at you in full costume gear, and it is awesome. Oh, nothing could make me happier, except for the fact that apparently the official Deadpool Twitter page, the movie one, only follows one other Twitter page, and it's Hello Kitty for no reason given.
That's awesome. Are you
that
serious?
That is awesome. I'm dead serious.
That's awesome.
I went and I checked it out. They only follow the Hello Kitty Twitter page.
Okay. Hold on. Why is – explain to me, a Deadpool noob, what is up the deal with Hello Kitty?
Hello Kitty?
Yeah, like what is up? Is Deadpool like Hello Kitty or something?
Yeah.
I don't really.
That's well, a... I mean, it's not one of his recurring things, but he has stated he enjoys Hello Kitty before.
Really?
Really.
That's funny. That Why? Is. Does he just like Hello Kitty?
He just, is there any rhyme or reason to what Deadpool does ever?
But Hello Kitty?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, whatever.
There's
you
also just a bit...
Hello Kitty?
Yeah.
Hello Kitty's not bad.
No, I know, but it's just like Hello, like Deadpool and Hello Kitty is something I don't really...
It has its charm.
I guess. But she's not really a cat. She's a humanoid girl, apparently.
Yeah.
That's but fucking scary.
Still, you know, Hello Kitty and Caro and... Oh, Caro and... I forgot the other one's name. You know, there's a charm to that show. So, yes, I've watched Hello Kitty. So I'm just being honest about it.
There's also a bit of casting news that goes along with this Deadpool news. First of all, we learned that Morena Baccarin's role in Deadpool is officially that of Copycat, mutant who appeared, I think, originally Domino, or who we thought was Domino, was actually Copycat when Deadpool first showed up. And also, I'm not sure if this will intrigue Iggy or not, but a little known, actually, a new actor named Brianna Hildebrand, who has nothing of note to her name, has been cast as a teen hero named the Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Originally created by Grant Morrison, yep. She is a telepath with free cognitive abilities and has been cast in the Deadpool movie.
Yeah, she's dead, though.
Yeah, I heard she got killed off fairly quickly.
Yeah, she's
in
like one panel and that's it.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Right before Cassandra Nova drops the Sentinel on Genosha and it kills her. All of Genosha.
You mean she didn't see it coming? Toh!
Hello!
So, yeah.
Actually, that's a good point.
I think it's interesting that they're pulling a Negasonic Teenage Warhead out of it. Like, that's interesting. I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
I didn't think I...
How old was she? Because Negasonic Teenage Warhead, that's a name that, like, a real young person comes up with.
Cool. It's hard to know because she was, like, literally in one panel. Like she and the only other thing she shows up in is in Astonishing X-Men. If you haven't read Astonishing X-Men, what I'm going to say for people who are, turn away for about 3 minutes because it spoils a good thing. She shows up there, but she's not actually there. She's actually a psychic projection, I think, of Cassandra Nova. So she's not even really there. So it's interesting that they're using Negasonic Teenage Warhead, but whatever. It's an interesting name. In fact, Kitty Pryde in the comic actually makes a comment like, "Did we run out of code names or something? What happened?"
Yeah, that sounds right with that name. Like
yeah, but she's literally a throwaway.
That's like three people.
She's a throwaway character. So it's interesting that you know.
I bet you that's not what they do here.
No, I'm pretty sure not.
Well, we'll see.
She might even survive
the
movie.
The actress who they got to play her did absolutely nothing before this.
That's true, but they wouldn't announce something like this if she was, like, easily disposable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking a character that, for all intents and purposes, is nothing and had nothing. She was just somebody who was there to die. And hasn't really done anything. Why would they make an announcement there? Hi, and we've hired this person to play this character. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I
yeah,
get
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I think she may not survive the movie, but I bet you she'll probably have a larger part in it than she did in the original comics.
Yeah, yeah.
If she did survive to the next one, I really wouldn't be surprised. You know, probably just to keep it from being like a sausage fest or something. I don't know.
Probably. So there
is she
go.
Cute?
Yeah.
No, she looks like Goth in the comics.
Or do you mean the
actress?
No,
I mean
actress.
Oh, I don't.
The actress is reasonably cute. If you ever played Mass Effect, she has like a jack thing going on without the tattoos, but she looks cute.
That's not bad. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Definitely bangable. Definitely bangable.
So let's move on to the next bit of news.
Hey, speaking of bangable, you know that character Jubilee from the 90s X-Men?
No, please fill me in.
Okay, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, she's been cast in X-Men Apocalypse. Jubilee is coming to the big screen.
Excuse me, her name is Jubilation Lee?
Jubilation?
Jubilation, yes, Jubilation Lee, a.k.a. Jubilee, who has the power of
created by Jim Lee, I believe.
Created by someone,
I'm pretty sure it was co-created by Jim Lee.
Creation of writer Chris Claremont and Mark Silvestri.
I was wrong.
It's one of the Image 7, so, you know, you got kind of...
I was close. Close.
Yeah, you
was
were you were
Asian.
Well, she's an X-Men. Jim Lee was on the X-Men. She
like
was
I said, it was an Asian.
Anyway, Lana Condor, another new actress who has really no notable credits to her name, has been cast as Jubilation Lee for X-Men Apocalypse. And as I said, definitely bangable. I'm gonna post a picture for y'all in case
I've
you haven't seen it already.
I've only seen one picture, and that's her looking over the shoulder. She looks cute.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I was going to post, so yeah, you got it.
She looks like 15, but whatever.
Yeah, I know.
She's probably 23.
Yeah, but she looks very cute. I do like that they're finally opening up the mutant pool a little bit. I mean, granted, we're still getting the Scots, the Jeans, and the Auroros, but now we're getting Nightcrawler again, which is cool. But also Jubilee. And Jubilee, granted, she was in X-Men 1 and 2 as cameos. Hopefully she'll actually get like a more solid performance. Like she'll have more, like maybe we'll get to see some cool things with her light powers or firework powers. I don't know how, but it'd be fun to see. And I hope they give her the yellow trench coat and the weird goggles and everything. I just hope they do. It's really odd though because she is a very '90s character, and yet this movie takes place in the '80s. It's just
I thought this was supposed to take place in the 90s.
No, 80s.
No, it takes place in the 80s.
Like 10 years
after. She is a product of the fad era, man.
Well, you know, to be fair, though, when she shows up, what was it, 90... When did Sylvester take over? That was, what, 88, 89?
I have no idea.
When she gets introduced, regardless, she's a Valley girl, so that's definitely '80s kid. You know what I mean? So, behavior wise, chronologically, she fits. You know, I don't have a problem with that. But I do think it would be funny if they actually did do the Robin outfit. I would probably laugh my ass off for both awesomeness and cheesiness. Because, I mean, really, come on, those big-ass fucking goggles.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm still waiting for Rogue to show up in that yellow and green outfit.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. And if they're not going to give her a Southern Belle accent, they're not going to give her that costume.
True. Damn it.
What do you have to say about anything else to say about Lauren Conrad as Jubilation Lee?
Did you say Lauren Conrad?
Yeah, is that Laura Conrad?
Lana Condor.
Lana Condor.
Like the bird.
The names are... Come on, you can't tell me the names.
Lauren Conrad's the chick from The Hills. So you're picking a Valley girl to play Jubilee.
Hey, what? It's all one... Look.
It's all Valley girl.
Illuminati. Do you know what this means? Illuminati confirmed. That's all that means.
Half-life confirmed.
No, you know what'll be funny? If she's already a vampire.
I kind of hope for like a joking throwaway line for that in the movie.
Oh, you know, she could be a vamp. You know that goth.
Yeah. I get it. I don't want her to be though. If they're gonna do Jubilee, I want like Jubilee at like when she was in the '90s cartoon, the young innocent one. You know, that's what I want.
Yes, innocent. Yes, Petal Bear.
All right, I don't know how to come on to that segment. Anything else to say about Jubilation Lee's casting?
She's good with it. So she's got that going for her, yeah. I guess. If they give her the short spiky hair, though, I will be upset. Just saying.
Yeah, that's just me. Ones I prefer a woman with longer hair, and she looks really cute in that picture.
She looks good, but I think if they do it right, her short hair could work. So I'm not too, you know, set on the hair. I would be pleased if they gave her the costume. I'll say that. I would be pleased.
Yeah. I mean, they gave her kind of the costume in X1 when she's just a cameo character. She just doesn't have the big pink sunglasses. God, I hope they give it.
Although, I remember her having the big yellow outfit, though. Yeah. The big yellow coat. Did she?
Yeah, kind of. It was yellow, but I don't know if it was the same coat.
All right.
Look. The truth is, April O'Neil is Jubilee. All right. So let's move on to our final bit of news. Apparently, we have a new.
Which April O'Neil? A porn star?
No.
That
is a thing, isn't it?
Because she's kind of cute and kind of Asian looking. She might work.
Whatever. Mm. The point is, let's move on.
Creates fireworks out of her vagina or something.
Apparently, we have an all-new, all-different Avengers team coming.
Yay!
So I'm going to take duties over this time as a...
Hey! Yes. You take all the good stuff.
Hey, you don't like this roster, so shut up. So apparently this free comic book day, we will be getting our first look at the all-new, all-different Avengers, which consists of Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, The Vision, Kid Nova, Miles Morales, Black Spider-Man, and newcomer to the group, Miss Marvel. Well, actually, Nova.
Not Carol Danvers.
That's what I said. If I would have said Carol Danvers, I would have said Captain Marvel. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
And nobody.
Okay, so this is your all-new, all-different Avengers team with Thor, Captain America, female Thor, Falcon, Captain America, Iron Man, who does not look like his superior Iron Man look, Vision, rocking his Uncanny Avengers look, Kid Nova, you know what? The only three people who actually have Avenger experience are Falcon, or Captain America, Vision, and Iron Man. The other four are complete newbies.
I don't think that's Iron Man.
Well, yeah,
I can actually explain that one.
Huh?
Well, I can actually explain the Iron Man.
Okay, hold on. We'll explain it right now. Sure. Okay, yeah, so then I'll just say only two of them have actual, like, Avengers experience. You know what initially reminded me of? And granted, this is more so, but it really reminded me of when Firestar and Justice were part of the team. They were sort of like the rookies onto this big, like, they got promoted. And I'm not going to lie, being a fan of Ms. Marvel, it's kind of cool to see this character. Granted, she hasn't been around very long, but you can't deny her popularity in terms of against readers in general.
Is she that popular a character?
I think she is. From the people I know and like her I don't know about sales numbers wise, but I know she's one of the
people talk about her.
Yes, people talk about her. It's not like she's a throwaway character. And I like her personally as a character too. And I know people love Miles Morales Spider-Man. Kid Nova is the only one I'm iffy about because I've read a couple of his issues, but I really wasn't. But I do like that we have three characters on this roster, four technically with Thor, who have never been part of the Avengers. And now, have they revealed who she is?
Not yet.
Okay. But what I do like about this roster is that it's a lot of these characters who have never been Avengers before. And while some of them have faced down the earth-shattering threats, you know, Ms. Marvel hasn't definitely – Spider-Man has at once, but not like – what I'm saying is I like the new blood. I like the new blood, and it isn't and they aren't reusing a lot of the same old characters. Granted, Vision, Iron Man, and Falcon are there, or Captain America are there, but I like the three new additions, which is...
You know what I look at when I see this? No offense, I see Young Justice. The Jeff Johns version, when you had the young heroes and the older heroes to try to guide them, you know?
Yeah.
I
don't think that's wrong. I mean, I think it could be interesting.
I don't, yeah, but see, this is not what I want for the Avengers.
Well, this is just going to be one of, there's not one, you know, there's not going to be one Avengers book. There's going to be another one.
But they're going to have to title that.
To ask about.
What was that?
That's another thing I want to ask about. Are Cap and Vision getting the boot from Uncanny Avengers, or are they just,
look,
you know...
Look, if fucking Wolverine can be on five different teams, Vision can be on two.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's right with that. It really, at this
fine.
Point, it doesn't matter.
I was just asking.
But I will say that, I don't know. While there's a strong point to be made about having younger heroes... and allowing them to be on the Avengers team with, you know, veterans, you know, like from the Justice and Firestar days. At least they have been in a team book beforehand.
Yeah, these,
you know,
these are more raw. They haven't even been long in their solo careers that much.
Exactly, and
but they're all, with the exception of Nova, the Thor. Well, I don't know about Thor either, but Miles Morales and Kamala Khan, they're very popular. So they have a following. So, you know, I'd imagine if you're a fan of those characters, you're going to read the book because they're in it now. At least I'd think.
Which
I know, okay, I know I'm going to read it.
Fair. But, you know, I'm still looking at this and I'm like, well, Miles and I think Sam are about the same age. I think Kamala is a year older because I know the boys are about 15. She's 16, I believe.
Yeah.
Just kind of like that whole thing, like when you think Avengers, and I remember, you know, and I'm going back through, you know, my own history, you know, reading the title. I remember the databases that they would have when people and who they would call up when they needed people. And we're talking a large fucking database. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what had to have happened for, you know, Blacked in America, because I refuse to call him Captain America. I'm sorry. Blacked in America, and I guess maybe Vision to go, hey, we need to take in, we need to, you know, bring in people because, you know, I guess, you know, Hickman and his magnum opus, you know, the Avengers team as we knew it is gone.
That's
so,
I mean, this happened right when Secret War starts, so that's not out of the realm of possibility. Like I'll say this, like in
and that would explain why Miles is there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because unless they're going to legitimately introduce the 616 version of Miles, you know, I was about to say Miles Standish. What the fuck, man? and now I'm about to say Miles Davis. Of Miles Morales, you know, I don't know exactly how the fuck that's supposed to be pulled off.
Yeah.
But we've seen Sam in a team book, and Sam is a fucking moron. He's an entertaining moron, but holy shit is he a fucking moron. And Kamala, I gotta be honest, she's, you know, I'm really iffy on her, you know? Miles in the team book, I didn't read, what's that ultimate team book that he was supposed to be on post Galactus?
Oh, FF or whatever? Or Ultimate Avengers?
Yeah, I think that's what that was. That was a team book, and it had Ultimate Power Man and a bunch of other teens on it, and I think he was in that. I didn't read that book, so I don't know how he worked there. But, I mean, here you've got Bri, can you tell us about the Iron Man? Because I know, you know, you know more about that than I do. I just know that that's not Tony.
Yeah. So if you've been paying attention over in Superior Iron Man, basically what's been happening is as Tony regresses into what was, you know, his sociopathic self, basically, you see Pepper Potts plotting alongside this character clad in the classic Iron Man armor to take Tony Stark down. And there hasn't been any information as to who it is helping Pepper or why they're doing it. At first, I thought it might have been Arno Stark, Tony's brother, but apparently he's not included in the Superior Iron Man series. And then they revealed in the most recent issue that it is, in fact, a Tony Stark armor with an imprint of his brain from before the Axis wave. So it's Tony Stark's personality and brain inside of an Iron Man suit.
Not actually
no person.
So it's an AI suit.
Basically, yes.
So basically you've got two AI heroes.
Yeah, that's a little odd. That's a little...
Yeah. We've got two AI heroes, Blacked in America, whore. Because I'm sorry, I just have fun saying that.
That's fucked up, man. She hasn't had sex with anybody.
You're right, but I still have fun saying that. And, you know, the three junior heroes, and I'm going to look at this title and think, training camp. I can't help it. I look at this title and I think training camp, you know, on top
of
which...
They should just throw the young kids on a team and rebrand it under a new initiative.
Exactly.
You know, like that was also called Avengers, so whatever. It was called Avengers the Initiative, so it's just...
They could call it Young Avengers.
They should. That actually, no one's doing that series right now.
But see, I would agree with that. But the Young Avengers are such tied to that specific roster that I don't think they.
It doesn't have to be.
That's what they are, though. That's what they're going
to. Well,
do.
I mean, what the hell? Hold on a second. What the hell are Hulkling and Wiccan doing right now? They could easily put them on team.
Didn't they all retire?
And come on. No, not that I'm aware of.
I thought they all retired.
Well, I know Patriot retired. I know Kate Bishop's doing her own thing. She grew too big for their britches because she's the most popular character on that thing. Stature retired after she got brought back to life.
What happened to the speedster brother?
Tommy? I got no fucking idea, but I didn't like him to begin with anyway. The last time
wasn't Patriot kidnapped and lost or some shit like that?
No, it was some antagonist running around in Patriot's old costume. That's what that was.
Yeah, so what happened to Patriot?
He's just chilling out somewhere. They haven't touched him since.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, they haven't touched him since the end of
Children's
Crusade.
I never did find out exactly what was going on with that shit.
Yeah, they haven't touched him since the end of Children's Crusade when shit went down. But yeah, I mean, you got all these characters running around.
I think we're going to have an Avengers roster where it has the favorites as the staples. But
it'll probably be Uncanny, I would hope.
No, Uncanny's – leave Uncanny alone. Leave Uncanny alone. Uncanny's for, like,
well,
the weird
team. That's why, you know, no offense, but Vision should be on in Uncanny.
He's going to – who says he's not? There's no indication he's leaving the book.
Do you think he's going to be on both teams?
Why the fuck not? I don't see one. Again, if Wolverine
I asked a question. I'm not saying he is or isn't. I'm asking a question.
I think he will be because I don't see a legitimate reason to why they would pull him. Other than they'll just explain it in between panels. Oh, why weren't you on this mission? Oh, I was doing this. There you go. Problem solved. Make me editor and fucking chief now.
Chief Iggy. All hail Chief Iggy.
I don't know. We'll see.
This book doesn't come out for another month.
I'm also not happy with the fact that they're using his Age of Ultron outfit. That's kind of annoying.
Actually, that's his Uncanny Avengers outfit.
Yeah, which is what he's probably going to look like in the movie.
We'll find out when the movie. We've only seen his face.
Yeah, his face looks.
And if it's wrong, well, you know what I'm going to do. So
you're going to eat huevos. Shut up.
Yes. the point is, let us know what you think about this new Avengers roster, and the basically all the internet's favorite characters joining into one banner. Let's see what goes. I'm excited for it, and it's Mark Waid writing it, isn't it?
Allegedly, it hasn't been confirmed or denied by Marvel one way or the other.
Allegedly,
an image was leaked showing his name on the cover.
Yeah, and if it is Mark Waid, if there's anything you know about Mark Waid, the man knows how to tell a solid superhero story.
If it is Mark Waid, I'll probably pick up at least the first issue. But other than that,
you're definitely because I'm making a book of the week when it comes out. So.
The case, all I can say is this: given and you know, credits to
Taser, I'm gonna need you to hook me up, bro.
No doubt.
I ain't paying for this shit.
if it is, you know, book of the week, I'm fine. But I give credits to Agent Purple because he brought it up and I hadn't thought about it. But apparently, that really does look like a Radioactive Man that they're going after.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see.
Yeah. I honestly thought because I'm an idiot. I thought that was like, you know, a Green Lantern thing. You know, some type of
construct. I swear to God. Until I saw he was glowing, I thought.
Because I'm a dumbass. You know, that's what I was thinking.
Say right now, I knew he was a Radioactive Man all along. You can tell by his hands.
Well, God, no prize goes to you. But exactly. I want to see how these guys do against Radioactive Man. You know, if Miles Morales is able to give him that spider shock thing.
The stinger?
I'm going to be thoroughly pissed because there's no fucking way.
I am already thoroughly pissed. This team is bullshit.
And Kamala Khan, what the fuck is she going to do?
She grows super tall and she, you know.
Radioactive Man.
Well,
this guy goes toe to toe with Hulk.
Shape, she can, like, change her body and stuff like that.
Again.
You're forgetting you have Thor there who just hits her with the fucking
Thor.
You have Thor.
Thor.
This team is fucking bullshit.
I don't. Whatever. Let us know what you think about the all-new
Iron Man. Whoever's in that armor as Iron Man, that's actually interesting. Though, I'll give you that. Whore on the team, that's interesting too. Vision. Vision's actually somewhat a stable character in my opinion. So I don't have a. I don't know. I like Vision. Him being on the team, you know, whatever. And Sam. Sam's the wild card that I could enjoy the book if he's. Again, the complete dumbass, you know, because every book with kids kind of needs
that. They should do him like they did Richard Rider back.
You know, when you said Sam, I thought you were talking about Sam Wilson. I was like, wait a minute, why is
Sam Wilson's a complete fucking moron just running around? I'm gonna swing the shield!
Well, you know what? I can't call him Nova because if I look at him, you called him Kid Nova first, and I think that when I look at him, you know, I think Kid Nova because he's not Nova.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't want to call him Kid Nova because he's really not Kid Nova. So I call him Sam.
Okay.
You know,
well, that, so that threw me off. Like, wait a minute, why are you talking shit about Sam Wilson? What the hell?
But,
I forgot his name was Sam.
And it's like remember that first time, the first appearance of the New Warriors, them and Spider-Man went up against Juggernaut. So this is kind of like what that is right there. All right,
well.
You know, a serious heavyweight, you know, going up against a bunch of people. Although they've got Whore. And Whore has shown that she can handle some shit.
I want to see the character actions because these are characters who really have never been in the same room together. So that's also going
right.
to be fun.
Yeah, that could also be interesting too. So I'm not going to trash it. I'm just saying it's not a team that I would ever see put together, really.
We've been on this topic not long enough. Let's move on to our individual reviews, which are going to be short. Let us know what you think about the all new, all different Avengers.
Before.
And Miss Marvel. So I'm reviewing Elektra number 11, the final issue of this series. Basically, it all boils down to this: it's a one-on-one fight between Elektra and Bullseye with the control of the Thieves Guild in hand, in the balance of power. If you just want a clinic on just beautiful art and fighting sequences, this is it. It looks amazing. It's great. Great use of using like Elektra's torment and Elektra's past while also pushing the story and keeping up with the action. It doesn't slow down the pace. Some great fight scenes, just how insane Bullseye is, and also how crazy Elektra is for not backing down. Some really great moments here. Bullseye runs away with the hand. Bullseye's back in action, so Bullseye's back. And Elektra basically has now in charge of the Thieves Guild. So there's that. And in fact, she's only in that position so she can destroy the Thieves Guild. But we're never going to see that because the series ends. So yeah, it was one big fight. It was one big gigantic action scene. Kind of feels like a martial arts movie taking place like in the middle of like in a shanty Japanese town. A lot of closed in buildings. It's taking place in Madripoor, which is not Japanese, but that feeling is still the same. Of like a martial arts film, and just great, great fighting. I'm gonna miss this.
Did you say it's taking place in Madripoor?
Yeah, it takes place in Madripoor.
Oh, all right. Because that place with the monkeys and the mat—that's a real place, you know, in the real world.
Oh well, I thought is it Madripoor?
I don't think it was Madripoor.
Okay, well,
I don't know where it is, yeah. But I'm pretty sure it's not Madripoor.
Okay, well, yeah, so it basically ends like, you know, Bullseye is out there and they're going to go try and stop him, basically putting Bullseye out there. And Maria Hill respects Elektra despite of what Elektra has done. And, you know, it was a good issue. It was a good issue to the end of the run. I'm going to miss this book, and I really wish a lot more people read it. I don't know how many people did. Maybe not a lot because it's ending, but also could be ending because of Secret Wars. But who knows? I the bottom line is go pick up this series, go pick and go look at the trade and go look at the. I think there should at least be two or if not three trades out of this. Some really great stuff. So I'm Elektra number 11 gets a 4 out of 5. It was really damn good. Brian, take it away. Or do you have anything to say about Elektra?
Just to pile on what you said, I really, really enjoyed the art. I wish this series was sticking around for a little bit longer, but you know what? It was such a good run, and though I hate to see it go, I like the fact that you know, they kind of went out on that kind of a bang. Where you're right, it's like an old kung fu movie happening right in front of you, and that's just great. That being said, I'll be covering the one of Elektra's exes, Daredevil. Number 14, Mark Waid and Chris Somney, back at it again. And Iggy had asked beforehand, just absentmindedly, isn't Daredevil getting a new costume? Well, yes, Daredevil is getting a new costume, although I'm not sure how much you could chalk it up to actually being a costume. See, if you've been reading Daredevil, then you know that recently at the end of the series in where he was set in New York, he KO'd him out and told people, "Hi, I'm Daredevil." We're like, for real this time, though. And he's been running around since then in San Francisco doing a superhero thing while also being a lawyer. But then Kristen McDuffie, his current love interest, her father, who is paying him to write a book about his exploits as Daredevil and stuff, kind of proposes that why don't you just unify the brands between Matt Murdock and Daredevil? Because as it stands, the only reason he was running around a mask to begin with is to protect his loved ones. But now it doesn't matter anymore because he's kind of out in the open. So what does he do? He gets an all-red suit with a DD belt buckle on it. He kind of sort of gives himself a shaved head. He's still got the red hair, but he's kind of chopped it all off at this point. His cane is still his cane, thankfully, but yeah, he's being pretty brazen about it. And in fact, his law practice is rebounding because in celebrity-obsessed California, even if people lose the case, they want to say they were represented by Daredevil, and he comes up with Daredevil business cards for his law practice, and he calls himself Daredevil in the court, and he's so flamboyant and flippant about it, it's almost, like, it almost gets on your nerves the way he's behaving, because it really is kind of a total, I don't want to say a total turnaround, but he's acting differently, sort of. I mean, he's stopping out of pose for photographs, and he's actually catching rides with people at crime scenes who are like, "Oh my god, you're Daredevil!" And he's like, "Yeah, can I get a ride over here?" And so, at the same time, kind of scratching my head, like, he's getting people to drive him to active crime scenes? Like, isn't that kind of against what superheroes do?
That's in California.
Well, apparently not. Also in this series, we got a new character introduced, or rather, I don't know if she's brand new, but I had trouble pronouncing her name at first. Her name was Jubila or something like that. Jubila Pride. And at first I thought I read a Jubilation. I'm like, what, Jubilees in this? No. Jubila Pride is this kid in a high-tech outfit with razor claws and who is the daughter of the Owl. So basically she's looking for her dad because he's been missing for quite a while, and Daredevil helps her to track him down to Alcatraz of all places. And Leland Owlsley is hooked up to all these monitors and stuff. It's sort of like something out of The Dark Knight, where, you know, every cell phone and mobile device is hooked up into one unit, but then the unit is then subsequently plugged into Leland's brain. Yes, he's into Leland's brain. And they're trying to figure out who did it, who would kidnap him, and they get a tip from the Shroud, a.k.a. Max Coleridge, the kid who showed up not too long ago. And as Matt Coleridge shows up under the pretense of helping them, she sees that the group that kidnapped Owlsley, the insignia of the group, is actually the mark on the Shroud's forehead, and that he is the new sort of crime overlord in San Francisco, I suppose. And that ends with issue number 14, with Leland Owlsley's daughter lunging at the Shroud to take him on, and Matt kind of being like, you know, what's going on? Because he didn't put two and two together about who the Shroud is. He can't see it. So, yeah, I don't know. A new direction for Daredevil, a new costume. It's not going to last long, but I'm not a fan of it. It was kind of off-putting, but I guess I could become a fan of it. I'm not entirely certain. It really is kind of like the first issue of, like, we'll wait and see. So, but
wait a minute. Hold on. I saw Does his new face thingy, like, completely, like, one piece, no eye parts, whatever?
Who, Daredevil?
Yeah.
He's not even wearing a mask anymore, dude. He's running around without a mask on. He's okay, literally mind, just in an all-red suit, and that's it.
Ew, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the design overhaul. I wish he kept the classic costume, but I see what they're doing with this. I understand why they're doing it. I'm just waiting for it all to revert back to the status quo. But I'm enjoying the ride while it's there. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like, well, I'm not a huge fan of it. So I'm really having trouble placing this. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5, whereas I probably would have given it a 4.5. Just because as far as the new character design and characterization goes, because another thing too, he's putting off writing his biography onto Foggy, a.k.a. the recovering cancer patient who has nothing to do with this time, and that's kind of like, yeah, just write that for me, you'll be good. So,
Hey, Brian, write my biography, go.
Matt's kind of being an asshole, you know? I'm not a huge fan of the turnaround.
To be fair, Matt Murdock's always been some kind of an asshole.
Yeah, but he's been always... an asshole. He's been an asshole who can kind of, you know, I don't know.
You can count on? He's an I asshole guess. You can count on.
It's just, look, he's always been kind of like, you know what I'm capable of and I'm good at it. I know I'm good at it. But now that he's given an excuse to not hide it anymore, it's coming to the surface and he's being kind of a prick about it. So, you know. He's not even wearing glasses anymore. He's running around without glasses
on. Was he in the Axis event? Maybe this is part of Axis.
This is Axis Matt Murdock?
Yeah, it's Axis Matt Murdock.
I don't know. And the fact is, he's doing all this to boost book sales, because that's the thing, too. He was prompted by Christian McDuffie's father, a publisher who wants him to write about his life as Daredevil.
He's doing this for books? Yeah. This isn't Daredevil.
He's doing it for Daredevil. He's doing it for the press junket for when the book goes on tour.
Why is he writing a book? See, this is why you don't take away Matt Murdock from freaking New York City. Now he's in no.
Well, he's writing a book because he needs the money.
Fuck
and also
you, California.
Because,
see what you do to my also, favorite superhero?
Also because Christopher McDuffie's dad played to his ego. So, you know, kind of a match there.
Matt Murdock.
I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5 total. That's about where I stand right now. Until if I see character improvement, I'm not a huge fan of where we're at right now, though.
So. I don't like it. That's not. Mm. I want. Can we get Frank Miller?
I don't
Miller?
Like it, and I'm
can
reading.
Can we get Frank
it, so
Miller, please? Frank, no. You know what? It doesn't matter because Daredevil on Netflix is coming out, and it's all that Daredevil I'm going to
Speaking
need.
Of which, side note, I bought the Frank Miller's Daredevil Omnibus from my comic shop.
Wait, does it also include the issues where he only drew or just the ones he wrote?
I think it's just the ones he wrote.
Okay, good. Does it include Born Again?
No, I have to
what?
Buy that.
How does it not include Born Again?
Well, it's just his run on the main Daredevil series, and then they have Born Again.
Yeah, he kind of went away from Daredevil, but it was still part of the numbering of Daredevil. I figured they would have collected that shit.
Nah, that part's not in the on this. But I got 3 volumes of Frank Miller Daredevil in one book, so I'm happy about it.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Those are individual reviews, because Taser does not have one at this time.
Taser, you suck!
There was nothing worth reading.
Oh, come on.
Come on. Be honest, guys.
What about Captain America? That had Baron Blood in it, dude. Don't tell me you don't want that old school call back.
There's nothing worth reading.
Yeah, fuck you.
No, thank you. Not into Bostonians.
Aren't you tired? I'm tired.
And I'm tired.
All right, well, let's now it's time for our exciting last
two-part conclusion.
Two-part conclusion of our top 10 favorite Marvel stories of all time. Welcome to the world.
No. Dun dun dun.
Somebody cue the us.
Oh yes.
2001 theme. I don't know. So number two, the coveted number two spot.
Number
what does it mean
two.
To be the penultimate number? You know. So I'm gonna go first. Because I'm the boss man. I can pull authority. My number two. Favorite Marvel story of all time is not a surprise to anybody. In fact, it shouldn't really come as a disingenuous, but it is the book that made me fall in love with the X-Men to begin with. My number
New
two
Mutants.
Favorite Marvel story of all time is X-Men Age of Apocalypse. When you want to, you know, granted, there's a lot of great X-Men runs out there. You know, John mentioned... Claremont and Burns X-Men, which that to me I couldn't rank. That to me is like on a whole other level. Like I wouldn't have the X-Men without Claremont and Burns. But this whole I've already had but at this point I was already a fan of the X-Men. To be able to see the X like to me there's always been a fascination of taking characters, switching things up a little bit, throwing them new realities and the circumstances are different. You know, all it takes
the reboot.
Well, kinda. Well, I mean, this wasn't a reboot of anything. This is just a temporary thing. But to see, you know, like what Nightcrawler is, and to see what Scott's the Summers brothers become, to see the Earth literally wasted, to see basically the villain winning at the beginning of it all. You know, that
one-handed
was all
Logan.
That was all one-handed Logan too. That was all new to me. And it was just so cool. It was such like a sharp direction change of the X-Men. And that to me, like even like when I read alternate stories, I hold up Age of Apocalypse. Like if it doesn't personally, if it doesn't reach up to this standard, well then the story has failed. If you're gonna do an alternate universe differently, do it fucking differently. And while some themes remained, there were enough things that made the story unique into its own that it didn't feel like just a retread in another universe. Also, it's the book that made me a fan of Apocalypse. Obviously, I've made no secret in that Apocalypse is my favorite X-Men villain. Tying with Ultron is my favorite Marvel villain in general. In just how big it was, like this crossed over all of the X-Men titles. I think I don't even know, like was it a year, 2 years? Like every single X-Men book was Age of Apocalypse. And just that magnitude. You could do adventures for years in that universe. The art's not the strongest, I'll admit that, because it's of the time, and not every artist was exactly at their A game, even looking back at it now. But
understatement.
But at the same time, it was a lot of it was serviceable, and it did a job. And there are moments that I've remembered that I will never ever forget. And so for that reason, X-Men Age of Apocalypse is my number two favorite Marvel story of all time. It is the benchmark I have for any comic book.
X-book?
Well, comic book in general, if you're going to do an alternate reality story. That standard. Maybe not necessarily that big in terms of like all the books taking over, although Secret Wars is going to do that, so we're going to see how that goes. In terms of just how big it was, introducing my favorite villain, and just how different everything felt. I loved it, and I won. And every time Marvel revisits Age of Apocalypse, I will be right there at any given moment. Yeah, that's my number two. Brian, take it away.
Okay. Well, fitting as it may be, my number two pick is also an alternate universe book. I love these books. They're so much fun to read because, you know, just nothing is off limits and everything can be fiddled with in this way or that. And this was actually my number one pick for a little while before I was going back and forth between this and what is now my number one pick, and I finally settled on it. But it's so funny when I tell people about this book because they give you that look. I don't know. Do either of you guys watch Saturday Night Live?
Not anymore.
Ben, do you watch Saturday Night Live?
I only watched it when it was cool.
Okay. Straighten your hipster glasses there, pal. Have you ever heard of, you ever seen Bill Hader skit Stefan?
Yeah, I remember that.
The guy who recommends, like, clubs and shit. Yeah. And just, it's like the weirdest out there shit. I feel like Stefan when I'm recommending this book because, you know, it's like, this book has everything. An inbred Hulk hillbilly gang, a blind Hawkeye shooting from the hip with the power of sound, a Ghost Rider motorcycle gang with wheels on fire, Hawkeye's daughter, who is also Peter Parker's granddaughter, who's Spider Bitch and usurps the Black Kingpin to take control of his domain in a post-apocalyptic kinda United States of America. Red Skull is the president and shit. And if you haven't figured it out by now, it's Wolverine, Old Man Logan.
Yeah!
By Mark Miller and Steve McNiven. And it is great. It is... I love that book so unabashedly. Like, you can say whatever you want about the quality, the content, because admittedly there wasn't much going on in that. I mean, there was. It was phenomenal. But the timing of the issues was all... It took like 3 years to complete this book because there was massive delays because, you know, Mark Millar and Steve McNiven on a book, you know. But holy shit, do I love this book. I maintain one of the most beautifully illustrated scenes, two-page spreads I've seen, is the scene where they flash back to what happened the night the heroes fell, which is the concept, and Wolverine comes down from realizing what he did, which, spoilers, he slaughtered all the X-Men. He was tricked into thinking that there was an invasion at the Xavier Mansion when it was really just Mysterio fucking with him, and turns out that he killed everybody. Just see the scape of blood and gore he cut through the school. He killed everybody, and as he holds even Storm.
No!
As he holds a dying Jubilee in his arms, and he's just
even
like...
Even Jubilee! No!
He killed everybody, and so he settles down for a quiet life as a farmer in this United States now ruled by these villains, who I think the predominant ones are Red Skull, Doctor Doom, Kingpin, and Hulk Gang, respectively. Which is like
wait, you mean to tell me Doctor Doom is sharing ownership of the United States?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that now you know that's an imaginary story.
Well, I mean, look, it's an Elseworlds, so you know, obviously some things change. And this is the only
because
real window
Red Skull's not one to fuck with.
No shit.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Doom
fuck.
Does not share. As much as I hate Dr. Doom, I know Doom does not share.
Taser, look, okay. We're talking about a world where the villains stop fighting long enough to team up and take over the United States. I don't know about the world. That's another thing, too. We only got 8 issues of this. It's entirely unclear how far the villains actually influence the world or what's going on with all these head honchos, so to speak, because we only get the 8 issues. There was never a sequel series. There was never really touched upon again. And it's one of those things that just sort of happened, and it's, like, great because, A, Steve McNiven's illustrating it, and fucking baller, if I may say so.
It's basically Dark Knight Returns kind of for Wolverine.
It's, like, Unforgiven if Clint Eastwood was Wolverine, you know? Kind of.
I mean, you're right, too. I'm more right, but
wow,
you're right, too.
Wow, that's something. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's him rolling up into town and trying to provide for his family after he settled down for a quiet life. And in the end, it just comes back to haunt him, all of this shit he's done. And he's trying to make ends meet. And at the time, he's going up against all these forces. And he's a pacifist. He doesn't want to fight anybody. And, oh, God, issue number 7, where he sees what has ultimately happened to his family. And he pops his claws for the first time in over 50 years. And he just gets down to business. Issue 8, which is giant-sized Old Man Logan, they did a giant-sized issue, is basically just pages of Steve McNiven's artwork where Wolverine is cutting down the inbred hillbilly descendants of Bruce Banner and Jennifer Walters. And he is cutting a path of violent destruction. He kills all the motherfuckers. And then he decides to take the last living Banner kid, a baby at the time, raise him up, and start a new Avengers to help set the world right again. And that's how the series ends, with him riding off into the sunset to help take on the, you know, bad guys of old and whatnot.
I have a baby.
And there's so much stuff left unanswered. Like, Reed, Richards, and Sue Storm are still apparently unaccounted for out in the time stream somewhere, and no one knows what happened to them. And then Thor's hammer is just lying in a crater in Las Vegas, and people go to worship at it, but nobody knows what happened to Thor, which they know what happened to Thor, but they're praying for the return of the heroes and whatnot. And then Peter Parker's granddaughter, Hawkeye's daughter, a.k.a. Spider-Bitch, who tried to depose the Kingpin, ends up deposing the Kingpin and taking over his territory. And like I said, they kill Red Skull, who is the president and wears the Captain America uniform all the time. And S.H.I.E.L.D.'s now a fascist rogue police thing. It's just a stellar book. It's balls to the wall, crazy and violent, but it's amazing to see. It's beautifully illustrated. And you ultimately feel bad for Wolverine because this guy is so broken. And then when it's finally just too much to take, he does what any normal person would do after having so many years of just being shit on his entire life. And I can't recommend this book enough. If you love just a balls-to-the-wall, crazy, violent Elseworlds tale of Wolverine fighting in the last days of the heroes, I highly recommend Old Man Logan to you. It's a book you will not regret picking up. Unless you're probably not a Wolverine fan, then you might not be interested in it, but that's your choice, not mine.
Quick question.
Yes, sir.
You said Spider-Bitch is Peter Parker's granddaughter and Hawkeye's daughter?
Yes.
Yes.
How does that work?
Basically, Peter Parker had a daughter who was then fucked by Hawkeye, and that, yeah.
But, okay, so how old is Hawkeye?
He's like old.
He's like Jeff Daniels' age. I equate him to Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels, okay.
Or, no, not Jeff
He's
Daniels.
He's also blind.
Yeah.
So how do you know it? Now let me stop. I'm not going to go there.
He's got glaucoma, and he pinpoints targets by sound. And there's actually one scene where, under the impression his daughter's been taken captive, he goes to break her out. And she says, like, there's two bad guys, like, 20 yards to my left. And he nails them without even thinking about it. It's one of those bad eye interpretations of Hawkeye I've ever seen. It's so superfluous and crazy, but it's awesome.
Wasn't there, you know who that reminds me of? Wasn't there a member of Stick and Stone and Shaft's order who was an archer? Who did that?
I'm not entirely certain. I'd have to look into that a little bit, but I don't.
I think there was. He was a blind archer. Or at least I know. I think Shaft could do that because I think there was a
Shaft.
One of Miller's.
I don't know.
One of Miller's saying? Things was he used a bow and arrow and he was blind or some shit like that. Yeah, but I think there was an archer who was that was his shtick. He was blind as fuck, and you know he could still hit his targets.
Well, Hawkeye's like an old hippie who's got glaucoma, and he just nails people with arrows. It's fucking brilliant. I highly recommend the series.
All right, that's cool. All right. I wasn't too sure how the fuck.
Just be glad that you didn't read it in issues as it came out, because there was a delay of I think a year between the 7th and 8th issue.
Yeah.
Where they did.
Oh,
the
so it's like Children's Crusade.
Yeah, but again, now that it's all collected, it reads a lot better.
Yeah, look who's on the book. Mark Millar and Steve McNiven. Two guys who, if you know anything about their work, they caused
massive... Well, they worked on Civil War, so there you go.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I will say that because, like, during the whole... I don't know if you... forgive me if I forgot that you mentioned this a second ago. But, like, the whole thing is that, you know, you've said Wolverine's past this, but that he doesn't pop his claws until he gets home and he discovers...
His family's been murdered by the whole
thing. Yeah, and then he pops his claws, and it's like, oh, hell yeah.
Well, weren't his kids mutants?
No, they seemed normal. They didn't show any mutant capabilities.
And the way that Logan's behaving, if they probably were mutants, he probably drew it out of them and be like, never, ever use your powers.
Yeah.
Because that's his mindset right now.
Yeah, he was basically tired of fighting. And the only reason he did this was because he owed the Hulk money. But, yeah.
Which, by the way, in case you didn't miss it, his wife in that series looks like Jean Grey. So.
Yeah, pretty
true
much.
True to form, Wolverine keeps up to, you know, true to form. So.
If she wasn't Asian, she'd have to look like Jean Grey. Yeah. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Either Mariko or Jean Grey. Redheads.
Or Silver Fox.
I mean, nah, not so much.
Taza, what's your number two pick, man?
Okay, I know most of y'all probably have not heard of this book. It's a cosmic story.
Oh, it's one of those ones. You've probably never heard of it. Straighten his hipster glasses.
I'm almost positive you guys have not have heard of this book. I chose Avengers Annual number 16, Giant Size, The Day Death Died. Long story short, at the Contest of Champions... Grandmaster had managed to restore the collector's life at the cost of his own. So now that he's in the realm of death, he managed to scheme and find a way to usurp her power. And he was trying to figure out a way to basically reboot the universe. But because, you know, the Grandmaster, does things the way that he does, he wanted an opponent to go to thwart him, so to speak, even though he managed to stack the deck in his favor. So he pulls in the East Coast and West Coast Avengers, and he sets them up with the task. Basically, they're fighting for death, okay? And the Grandmaster, having taken, you know, death's power, he has, he's created what he called the Legion of the Unliving, okay? The Legion of the Unliving was Swordsman, Nighthawk, Dracula, Bucky, who was dead at this point until they, you know, retconned and said he was still alive, the original Black Knight, the Executioner, so this is after, you know, he dies, Terrax, the Tamer, Captain Marvel, Baron Blood, Hyperion, the Green Goblin, Drax the Destroyer, Korvac, Red Guardian, and Death Adder from the Serpent Society. And he creates these five bombs, and he sends them out to different corners of the universe. And he puts various characters from his Legion of the Unliving to protect the bombs, and it's the Avengers' task to get to these bombs and disable them, or else, you know, part of the universe is just dead. It's killed. It's gone. First, the Avengers kind of have to get over the fact that they're on the side of death, okay? Second of all, quite a few members of the Legion of the Living have, you know, a few of them have been, you know, ex-Avengers, you know, like the Swordsman and, you know, well, Captain Marvel, he wasn't really a member, but, you know, he had close ties, and you got Bucky there. So, you know, there's some emotional conflict, you know, that's invested in this because of, you know, who they have to face. And it doesn't, I mean, for the most part, the Avengers get the job done, but in true horrific fashion, you know, they don't just kind of run through and defeat their, you know, defeat the undead Legion and, you know, manage to, you know, secure the bomb. You know, characters die along the way, and they do die. Like, Bucky ends up killing Janet, you know, just kind of pounding her flat. Tony.
Wait, wasn't Bucky really alive? This whole time? This is bullshit.
No. Apparently, this all does not count, you know. Tony, for his part, he's actually at the bomb, and they had established a skirmish line, and the Legion of the Living were making a push, and he's got the, you know, the bomb all discombobulated, and he's working on, you know, shutting it down, but something happens, and you see like two of them about to jump on him, and he fucks something up, and you see like a fifth of the universe just go gone, you know, Iron Man fucked up, okay, and I think they only need, like, two of the bombs, you know, for the universe to literally reboot, and then it reboots the way the Grandmaster wants it to. They managed to get, you know, the other two done, so basically only one bomb goes off. But the Grandmaster's like, fuck that. You know, this can't happen. I still want what I want, so I'm just going to ignore the fact that I lost anyway, and I'm going to reboot the universe, and I'm going to do it right now. And amongst all the Avengers to menace that survived that whole undead contest of whatever the fuck you want to call it, it's Captain America and Hawkeye left. And, you know, the two of them, and they're standing there, and we're talking about, you know, a being who's got the power of death that, you know, they have no chance of overpowering him. And Captain America is out of ideas. I mean, he's got nothing. And Hawkeye, and this is why I don't like this, you know, this modern day Hawkeye. This Hawkeye was my favorite. This Hawkeye looked Grandmaster right in the face. He's like, hey, fuck face. Fuck all of that. We won. You want to cheat? All right, fine. But you got to give us one more shot. Come on. This is what you do. You're a gamesman. Come on, give us one more shot. I got a game for you. If you can figure it out, you win, no problem, no contest, we won't complain, but you owe us one more shot. You owe us one more shot. And he manages to goad the Grandmaster into a game of chance. And what he does is he takes one of his arrows, and actually he takes two of his arrows, and he holds it in one hand in each. And one of them has like one of his, you know, his detachable, you know, arrow points, you know, it's like his gimmick arrows. And he holds them out and he tells him, you choose the one with the arrowhead and you win. That's it. This is it right here. Come on, do it, do it, do it. And the Grandmaster's looking, he's like, this is simple. This is a simple game. There's no way I could lose this. I should just ignore you, but I can't walk away. I must be true to myself. It's a game of chance. I choose the one on the left, and that's the hand that actually has the arrowhead, but because it's detachable, when he takes the arrow, it pops out. The arrow comes off, but Hawkeye palms the arrowhead, and the Grandmaster's like so disconcerted by the fact that he lost. You know, it causes him to lose his control over the power he has, and Death manages to reassert herself. She takes everything back, restores the universe, and restores everybody, all the Avengers, the previous Avengers who had died, back to life, and the Avengers find themselves back on Earth. And yay, everything is fine. But what the kicker is, the both teams have been in the middle of their annual softball game. You know, I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't ever remember seeing that before or since, but whatever the fuck. And I think Hawkeye was pitching, and Captain America, I believe Captain America is the ump, and he leans over to somebody, I forgot who it is, and he tells him, be careful of Hawkeye. He cheats, you know, and that was the end of it. And I think the Grandmaster had been kicked out of Death's realm because she was so disgusted that, you know, she didn't want nothing to do with him. So apparently the Grandmaster kind of wins because he's alive again. But this was like a really awesome story that kind of threw me for a loop because I don't think I'd ever really read anything aside from I hadn't read what if, what was it, 32, the one where Korvac, you know, kills the universe. I hadn't read that yet. This is the first story with death that I'd ever read. And when you see the panel used for when Iron Man fucks up and lets the bomb go off and lets a fifth of the universe die, you know, that kind of hit me. I was, I don't know what, maybe 13 at the time, you know, and on top of which, you know, we're talking them going up against the likes of Korvac, who was basically at the height of his power. So yeah, this Korvac was just eliminating everybody, and everybody else involved, you know, Executioner, Black Knight, Bucky, and Dracula. We're talking Dracula here. Dracula back here was a beast, a real beast, you know. It was actually a really good story. That's actually a cosmic story. So, you know, high points for Cosmic, high points for Tom DeFalco because he wrote this. You know, I actually looked that one up because I didn't know that before today. He wrote that. And had a bunch of people who, you know, did art on it because it was done in, like, chapters. So you had Romita Jr. and Marshall Rogers and Jackson Guichi and Ron Frenz. Ron Frenz! Doing pencils. This was a really, really good story. You know, but it's not, I don't think this is a book that's been collected yet. I'm not aware of it anyway, but this was a really, really good story, you know. So, yeah, this Avengers Annual number 16, you know, from 1987 is my number two Marvel pick of the, you know, my number two Marvel pick. And by the way, middle finger to you, Iggy, for forcing me to stick with Marvel Universe books, because I would so have put Strike Force Moratui here. You suck for not letting me.
You We're suck, a Marvel suck, podcast, suck. Taser. What do you want?
It was a Marvel book.
What?
Yes, exactly.
Well, suck it up, Buttercup.
Well, that does it for our show this week. We want to thank you all for coming, listening once again. Appreciate all the support. If you want to follow us individually, at Marvelous Iggy for me, at The Truth Taser, or Smooth Rebel for Taser on Twitter.
Yes.
What the hell?
And yes, I actually have a Twitter. I just don't use it too often.
And then, Brian, you're also on there, too, from time to time.
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah, what are you? What is your Twitter handle?
I am at NoMrPowers, NoMrPowers.
He's at the Boston Cream Pie at Twitter.com.
He's going to eat some clam. He's going to eat chata. He's going to eat chata. He's going to watch the Sox. Brian, you can watch the Sox open weekend.
Sox!
Give me your best Bostonian accent who's excited for opening weekend.
What?
Opening weekend?
Baseball.
Woohoo!
That's right, Taser.
Baseball's back.
It's America's pastime. Sox!
Red Sox suck.
Yeah, that's really all you hear, actually. No one really goes on big rants. It's mostly just Sox!
Sox! Yeah. Hey, buddy! Sox!
As much as that may like be like a stereotype, it's true. It's so sadly true.
Can I bring clam chowder to the stadium? Do they serve clam chowder at Fenway Park?
Nah, you can have a Fenway Frank, though.
Do you call it Fenway Park, or do you go Pack?
It's Fenway. Fenway Park.
Fenway Park.
Fenway Park.
Pack.
Yeah. Oldest ballpark in America. You know, kid.
No, that's Wrigley Field.
What?
No, no did we... you say oldest or best?
Oldest.
Oh, oldest. Yeah, you're right. I was just saying best.
We've got a few years on Wrigley.
Yeah. You also have more championships than Wrigley.
Oh, I feel bad for the Cubs, though. I'm hoping they turn it around at some point.
Bah. So this
it's been, what, 100 years?
Speaking of, just about, yeah. Speaking of baseball, I have one plug before I go. Several plugs, actually. But I was actually Kuhan's show. It's called Podcast for Rain Delay. Podcast for Rain Delay, which we talked about baseball. So I was on there. I don't know when that episode is going to be released. But you'll be sure to see it when it comes out. I was on there talking about why Little League baseball parents are the most awful people in America.
Dude.
So also, please check out my reviews over at my Greenlander reviews at thegreenlandercore.com. It's going to be a little interesting because now that Convergence starts this month, but whatever, we persevere. Also head over to MarvelousIggyTheWordPress.com where just today as this podcast goes live, Dragon, I, and joined by special guest Kuhan finished up the Dark Knight trilogy with Dark Knight Rises. And trust me, we had a lot of fun recording that. So that's officially up now as you're listening to this. So take a listen to that for our hilarity and our comedy as we
Go listen to Topher and God Hands.
If you're curious about my reviews, where they've been, I'm currently working on Ocarina of Time, followed up by Majora's Mask, followed by two games that I'm keeping as a surprise. But once they come up, you're gonna like. I hope you'll like them. So there's that.
Sweet.
So yeah. Anything else to say before we go, guys?
John, you better be here for the next the show after next, because I think. The show after next is when we do the big one?
Yeah, we're saving number one for the 200th episode.
Yeah, so next episode's a rest episode.
Because Iggy can't do math, apparently.
You know what? If you wanted to, we could do honorable mentions tomorrow.
Sure.
Next week, right?
Next week will be our honorable mentions segment.
Okay.
So until then, though, we will see you all next week for episode 100. And 99
on
the next Angry Joe Show.